The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to put Marquez Valdes-Scantling in your Week 6 lineup? That was not smart. But using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
We are on to week 7. Good morning and welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Field Yates, Matthew Berry,
there
and
we go.
Mike Clay here. I just realized something. Usually what happens is I start the podcast out and Matthew cuts me off about 3 seconds into the show.
Right.
Because you correct something that really doesn't need to be corrected.
Yep.
Like I'll say, but
that's
this
kind
morning,
of the shit. That's kind of what I do.
This morning I realized that I opened the podcast by saying good morning, as if everybody listening to this podcast is listening to it before 12 noon.
Yeah.
Surprised you didn't call me out for that one, Dad.
Yeah, well,
we're on that one, huh?
Off to a bad start.
Yep.
Listen, I'm in a bad mood, so it is what it is. It's fine. I'm letting everything go at this point. I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a bitter mood. I'm depressed. I'm maudlin. I'm hurt.
You're modeling?
No.
Maudlin. What does that mean?
Maudlin. You've heard of maudlin,
you know,
right?
It is National Dictionary Day, so I am so not surprised that Matthew Berry pulled that rabbit out of his hat right
that's
there.
That's not a rabbit out of my hat.
I don't know that one either. Maudlin.
I have heard maudlin before. It's like a self-pity
maudlin.
Kind Kyle of thing.
Kyle shaking his hand. No, Tom Carpenter sitting in for Not Cool Keith. Tom Carpenter, you've heard of that, right?
Absolutely. It's, you're not in a happy place.
Right. Exactly. Tarika?
Now I'm with Phil on this one.
Thank you, Tarika.
I'm going to really quickly read what it means.
Yeah. Twitter poll, by the way, Kyle. Do you know what maudlin means? Maudlin.
Modeling.
I'm going to say this. Self-pityingly or tearful, sentimental, often through drunkenness. So we might have to have a different conversation after the podcast,
no,
Matthew.
Matthew.
How do you know this is water?
That's
all I'm
going to
say.
Fair question.
I'm just going to say, it's clear liquid. That's all you can prove at the moment. It's half drunken. And it's,
drunken, is that correct?
Half drunk.
Like
half drank.
You can say maudlin, but maybe not like half consumed. It's half, you know what? It's half full, Matthew. Because I,
empty.
You know what I see right there?
It's a bottle that's half empty. Is
half
what that is.
Full bottle right there. Let's get to the football.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Down that Wedding Crashers, one of the first scenes reincarnation right there. On the podcast. Fine. We'll just talk about Aaron Rodgers. I hear all of you that want your football. The Packers win 33-30 in a game that was way sweeter than most of us were expecting it to be. 33-30 with Mason Crosby, the hero, hits 4 field goals last night, including an expiring game winner to give him the 33-30 win. Aaron Rodgers
was
simply brilliant.
Wasn't he playing against Aaron Rodgers or anything. It was
the
great.
The first person, the first player
or
in
Mason
NFL
Crosby.
History to throw 400 or more yards in consecutive games without throwing an interception in either of those games. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers go on a bye, but this was vintage Aaron Rodgers last night. Not much to say about it besides that,
yeah,
right? I mean, listen,
that's
go
right.
on a bye, get your...
Yeah, that's right. He beat the 49ers, baby.
Yeah!
The guy's just magic, right? He's just like, I tweeted, you know, there goes that bad man, which, you know, a lot of people talk about as well. He's just unbelievable. All that said, Mike Clay, it was the 49ers. How bad is this offense?
True.
I mean, it felt like to me, I'm sorry, I answered your question and didn't let you answer it, but it felt like to me, I tweeted this out too, it felt like to me literally Aaron Rodgers against the entire 49ers team. Like, somebody give this man some help.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous right out of the gate from both sides, right? Neither defense really showed up for that game. It's second night in a row, actually. Sunday Night Football was 43-40, then we got a 33-30. That's been the story of the year in the NFL far this season. But, I mean, right when it looked like Rodgers was hurt, right? He went down, he hit his knee, and we're like, uh-oh, you know, there's some trouble here. He takes off for a 20-some yard scramble.
21-yard
then
gain.
Off his back foot, hits those 2-3 long passes. I mean, it was, that last drive was incredible. So, bold take here. He's a good quarterback and a good fantasy quarterback.
This
as well.
Is why we bring Mike aboard for hashtag his bold takes take. Like that. But let's
wow.
get stuff. Let's
good
get,
fantasy let's, quarterback. I'm going to write that one down.
Let's
on.
Get to the Starting stuff that week. I think people were really asking Next about week. Last night, because the very first snap that he saw, our very first touch that he saw last night, Aaron Jones, who started for the Packers on their second offensive play from the 17-yard line, runs in for what looked like a touchdown. It was ruled a touchdown on the field. It was subsequently overturned upon video review, and the Packers threw it to somebody else who eventually caught a touchdown.
And it was Ty Montgomery, and actually in the box score.
It was not a receiving touchdown.
It was not a receiving touchdown. And so they ruled that it was thrown behind the line of scrimmage. So Ty Montgomery gets a rushing touchdown, even though when you watch the play, you're like, oh, well, at least Rodgers got it. So like literally no one, because no one was starting Ty Montgomery. Mm-hmm. So no one gets fantasy points from that. And once again, I said this last week. I will say it again. And you can throw this one back in my face, by all means. But I have said this many times, and I truly believe this, that if the Packers don't – this was a bad win for the Packers. I mean, they won. I'm sure they're happy they won.
Win, yep.
But that's a bad win. They were 9.5-point favorites. This is a bad win. And so this is a team that I think you – if I'm a fan of this team, I'm nervous about this team just from an NFL perspective. I believe that Mike McCarthy, if the Packers don't make the playoffs and go at least win at least one round in the playoffs, I believe Mike McCarthy is fired. And I believe that among the reasons that will contribute to him being fired is his refusal to go to Aaron Jones, to not use his best players and put them in a position to play. And I know other people like will say, oh, you're just looking at fantasy. I'm not. Aaron Jones is, I'm not just looking at fantasy. I'm watching the game. I'm watching the film, and he's the best player in that backfield, and I don't think it's all that close, Mike Clay.
Yeah, I mean, as a pure rusher, absolutely. He's been running away with it, for sure. He's been effective since his days in college. I mean, his senior year at UTEP, he was fantastic. So it is kind of shocking, but again, it can tend to be wishful thinking. The coaches aren't always going to do what we want them to do, and that's been the case with Aaron Jones. He's been on the field for right around handling about 40% of the carries in a very small passing game work. I mean, he actually played 27% of the snaps last night. That's his second lowest of the season.
Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery both play more snaps than Aaron Jones, who only gets 19 snaps in a game in which, once again, when he was out there, he was effective. It's unbelievable to me, Field Yates. And it just, until we see it on the field, meaning until we see the Packers commit to this guy.
All right. So again, we are going to be
free
one
Aaron
week.
Jones. Free Aaron Jones. Who wants to go to the streets with me? Who wants to build a sign? See, Thirsty Kyle, build me a sign.
We're going to be 1 week too late on Aaron Jones.
I want some poster board.
As Matthew builds his beautiful, go to ticket to College Game Day. They're going to be in, they're going to be out in Washington State. Pullman, Washington, I believe, is where Washington State is.
That would be great.
So go out there this weekend. And,
by the way, well, anyone listening that's in, here's what you guys do for College Game Day, because I'm sure there'll be people that listen to this show that go and check that out. It's always a big,
it's a huge first time ever going to Washington State.
Right, exactly. Yep. So someone throw up a free Aaron Jones and then in the corner like an 06010, hashtag 06010. So we know
smart
it's
smart idea by you. Now the Packers going to buy this weekend and then they return obviously 12 days from now. We expect at that point, given the fact that Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb were close to playing this week, that both of them will be ready for week 8. We don't know for sure, but that's our presumption as of right now. So although Marquez Valdes-Scantling had another 3-catch, 103-yard effort yesterday, like it's hard for me to say that he has value going into week 8 is anything more than a handcuff to Cobb or Allison or even Davante Adams if you have those players on your roster.
No, I don't believe so. I believe that's the correct term, is that he's a handcuff, because you think about, even though we want them to commit to Aaron Jones, the running back is involved. So you've got whoever the running back is, plus Jimmy Graham. So you're talking about Marquez Valdes-Scantling as maybe the fifth or sixth option on this offense.
Correct.
And he's a talented young player, and he's certainly interesting in dynasty or keeper leagues, but he's not somebody that I feel like I'm rostering in a 10 or 12 team league unless you have super deep benches or, again, like Allison or Cobb's injury proves to be more serious.
Not sure what was the most surprising thing we saw from the 49ers offense last night. A lot of wrinkles to sort of to dissect right now. Let's begin with the very, very good Marquise Goodwin. 4 catches, 126 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Before we move on to the 49ers, I just want to point this out. That I just suggested this on Twitter. I'm curious if you guys are cool with this. That you know, as we look for sort of nicknames, so for the Packers running backs, can we call them the tortoise and the hare? You remember the kids' book feel right. that I read to you when you were a young child?
Last week,
but,
yes.
Yeah, I put you on my knee and yes. you know, before you went to bed.
Right.
Tortoise and the Hare.
But there's three. So do the math on this one
right.
for me.
We, but, well,
there's
so,
three backs.
Yeah, okay. So let's break this down. Okay. So,
Could you call the
tortoise would be Jamal Williams.
But could you combine him and Ty Montgomery into one person and call him the Titus?
The tortoise? Oh, the Titus? No.
Titus.
And Aaron Jones is the Hare. And, hey, Thirsty Kyle, look up who else is in the Tortoise and the Hare, because they encounter like they race somebody else and
they encounter a
beaver or an owl or a frog or somebody. Like along the way, they talk to people. It's been a while since I read that to Field to put him
Literally
in bed.
Last week.
Yeah. Well, look, I can barely remember what I did yesterday. But yeah, I like that as a nickname for the tortoise and the hare. And I know the tortoise wins the race in the book. Hashtag spoiler alert. But the tortoise wins
Which,
the race.
And he is winning. That
right. It is. It should be the hare, but.
A
Good
rare,
Lord.
Accurate nickname from Matthew Barry. Now let's get to the 49ers because, again,
yes, thank you.
Marquise Goodwin was awesome last night. He had a 67-yard touchdown early on in the game and then sprinted past for another touchdown. And I love the celebration. A triple jump in the end zone, and he got super far, at least a long jump. He's an Olympic athlete for a reason, is Marquise Goodwin. 4 catches on 5 targets. Do we think this is the thing going forward? Like, should we be buying the idea that C.J. Beathard to Marquise Goodwin is a potential either DFS stack, or could Goodwin crack like your 12-team league flex play ranks?
Yeah, I mean, he was on the field for 95% of the snaps, so he's back. And remember, coming into the season, we all kind of viewed him as a flex, maybe a wide receiver 3, maybe if you loved him, a wide receiver 2.
But we viewed him as the number one pass catcher on the 49ers. Or, I mean, him and Kittle were both guys that we liked a lot coming into the season.
Right. But he's healthy now. He's fully involved in this offense. And C.J. Beathard, I think he's, you know, we've seen some interceptions, some turnovers from him, some mistakes. But overall, he's played a lot better than we thought. Way better than last season. Way better than his last season in Iowa, where I didn't think much of him. I think we were all shocked. He went in the 3rd round. So he's taken a step forward. And that's all you really need from a fantasy perspective. You need a guy that's going to come out, be somewhat competent, and chuck the ball to his top weapons. That's why we always loved Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? He didn't have to be efficient. He just had to get the ball down the field to these guys. And he'll throw it to Goodwin. We saw that last night. Obviously, it's a downgrade from Garoppolo, but we still like him as the number one weapon, at least on the perimeter in this offense. So, yeah, he's back in the flex mix for me.
Question.
I would agree with that, especially when you think about this defense. This is a team that's going to have to throw. I mean, it's a defense that played well, quote unquote, last night to contain Aaron Rodgers to just 33 points. I mean, people honestly come away from that game, and yes, they sort of collapsed on that last drive, but I think people come away from that game saying, like, you know what, the 49ers defense actually played well. And then you look at it, like, they gave up 33 points.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's ultimately somebody that's going to have to get a lot of volume and target. Goodwin is not just a deep threat. Obviously, that's what we saw a lot last night, but he's somebody that has a very full route tree. It's one of the things that Kyle Shanahan talked about in this offseason. Pierre Garçon looks like a ghost of his former self. It's unfortunate.
4 catches, 37 yards for him. He is droppable in a 10-team league if you need the 100%. Roster spot. And I can't imagine it gets much better than 4 for 37, 5 for 50 in a given week. Like, the ceiling is so low for Pierre Garçon. But where it also got interesting last night was the running backs, because last night we thought that Matt Breida might sit out this game. Instead, he plays. Not only plays, he plays really well. 14 rushes for 61 yards and a touchdown. Now, no involvement in the passing game from any 49ers running back other than Kyle Juszczyk, but it was still good enough, and Breida did not look a guy that was hurt, but even more surprising than that.
So I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question. This is a question for you, Secret Squirrel, as producer of this show. So this is a question to Daniel Dopp. Because I'd like to talk a little bit about Alfred Morris and his usage.
Oh, okay.
I have some thoughts.
Sure.
So here's my question, because we're live on Twitter right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can either do it now
and
share my thoughts, or I can wait till after the Twitter audience leaves, and I can candidly use the full complement of language that I would like.
Matthew?
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you like to have a job tomorrow?
Give me a minute.
You know what I think?
What?
I think we save it for the end of the show.
Okay.
For those podcast listeners, if you're watching on Twitter, maybe come back, listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and download, and then
download,
unsubscribe and resubscribe.
That's right. Subscribe, that's download to the
then
podcast.
Here's what I'm going to do then. I'm going to take this discussion off, and I will give my thoughts on this at the end of the show. But right, I will say this is part of my depression. What happened last night?
Your maudlin.
My maudlin.
State of being.
My maudlin. My depression. Yeah. Matt, honestly, my wife and kids want me to have a job tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. As for myself, I'm not convinced.
So Mac and I will handle this then. Matt Breida played well yesterday, yeah. Mike. It did not look like a player that had been hurt the week before. But Raheem Mostert, who is normally just a total tail kicker on special teams, excellent coverage player, not a running back that we're thinking about much in this 49ers offense, he ran, and he ran really well as well. Like, do you believe, because I'm not saying you need to go out and grab Raheem Mostert and start him next week, but do you believe that the Alfred Morris thing was more than just a one-game anomaly, or is he just done in this backfield?
Well, I don't know if there was some conversation going on in the press box at this game or whatever, but I threw that out there last night. I said, has Mostert passed out Alfred Morris on the depth chart? And a bunch of the beat writers started coming back really quickly saying, well, we think it's just game plan dependent, right? They wanted to attack the Packers defense with speed, so Morris didn't play. They used Mostert, you know, on the perimeter, obviously made some big plays. So that was really my only takeaway. I don't know how much to look into that or how much to buy into that right now.
And I'm not discrediting that thought. My question is this, is like, so what are you going to want to attack a defense with that Alfred Morris provides? Like,
that's my thinking.
We want to attack Alfred Morris with his veteran grit and his understanding of the offense.
Dude, I am with you there. I don't fully understand why you would just say, well, no, he's an inferior back, but he runs fast, so this is how we're going to win the game. I don't think it's overly logical to go that direction. But Mostert did run well. He's a great athlete. He's always been kind of intriguing, and he's hung around the NFL. So maybe they just decide, hey, he brings a new element to this game. By the way, he's averaging 5.5 yards per carry in his career. He's looked good this season. I think that it would not surprise me at all if he got more run going forward in this backfield. But really quickly on Breida, by the way, talk about consistency. He's been top 30 at running back 5 straight weeks, including top 21 in 3 of those games. So he's been delivering the goods as an RB2. You can't count on his efficiency necessarily being off the charts, but the guy is their lead back, and he's playing really good football, so you can start him with confidence.
I can't wait anymore. I'm sorry. It is what it is. If I don't have a job tomorrow, I don't have a job tomorrow. But I have to say, so Eric Branch, who does a great job covering the 49ers for the San Francisco Chronicle, wrote this in the San Francisco Chronicle, quote, after he initially was termed doubtful to play Monday by head coach Kyle Shanahan, again, Eric covers the 49ers, has done it for a number of years for the Chronicle. After he was initially termed doubtful to play Monday by head coach Kyle Shanahan, 49ers running back Matt Breida played against the Packers with his problematic leg and was part of a strong first half rushing attack. Breida capped a game opening drive with a 3-yard touchdown run, had 37 yards on 8 first half carries, and teamed with surprise backup Raheem Mostert to headline a ground game that 114 yards and averaged 7.1 yards per carry in the first quarter. Breida, who finished the game with 61 yards on 14 carries, officially was questionable to play. And the little-used Mostert seemed unlikely to have much of a role after he lost a fumble in a 5-carry, 11-yard performance in Week 5. So Raheem Mostert, off of a 5-carry, 11-yard fumble performance from the week before, gets all this run, and Alfred Morris, who was listed as the starter the entire week, Alfred Morris, who had led the team in red zone touches, even when Breida was going off, Alfred Morris was the guy that had the most touches in the red zone. He actually was out snapping Matt Breida. Matt Breida was more effective, but Alfred Morris was the guy that actually was getting more run, was getting more red zone looks coming to this game. And you know what? Some people, and by some people, I mean me, this guy was down by 9.9 points. Literally, I needed 1 point from Alfred Morris. One stupid point. One stupid point in a league in which I've lost 5 straight by less than 3 points. I lost 2 weeks ago to the guy that started Mitch Trubisky against me. 6 touchdowns. I lost by 3 points to a guy that had a 6-touchdown quarterback. And so here I am in a league with Sony Michel and James White and Carson Wentz. It's an unbelievable team. It's a team that crushes it. Christian McCaffrey. I dominated this draft. And I need one stupid point because the guy against me starts Tyrell Williams. Who starts Tyrell Williams? But this guy does because he doesn't know what he's doing. But yet here he is. He's up 0.9. I need 1 point, one stupid point from Alfred Morris. And do I get that point? I don't get that point. I don't get that point. It's 1 point. It's one stupid point. He actually gets it because this league gets you points for first downs. So he got one snap. And he got an 8-yard carry, and he converts the first down. I win. But no, of course, because you know what happens? The 49ers have a holding penalty, and it gets called back, and it's its only snap. And so I tell you what, Kyle Shanahan, that's karma. That is karma right there. That's why you guys lost.
So you did not win that matchup.
I did not win that matchup. I'm praying for a stat correction. It's the most frustrating loss. I've been playing fantasy sports for 30 years, and it is the most frustrating loss I have ever had in my life. 1 point. I needed 1 point from a guy that had come off a 12 carry, his best game of the season, 15 touches the week before, and he doesn't get it for a guy that fumbled last week, 5 for 11. Are you kidding me?
I got to say, Matthew, a stat correction is probably going to be tough on a 0 carry for 0 yard performance. But, you know.
That felt good to get out.
I'm actually really proud of you for letting all of us keep our jobs while you still keep your job and you got everything out at the same time.
You didn't curse one time.
Thank you for not making my job harder, Matthew.
Yeah, that was good,
buddy.
Is the Twitter live feed still on or no?
Twitter live feed is still on, and they are loving it. I got to be honest, they are loving it.
I went on a little bit of this rant on Twitter last night, and people were like, you know, hey, some people said, hey, it's good to know you're still one of us. Like, I think sometimes people think like, oh, whatever, I'm ESPN senior fantasy analyst or whatever, and I don't care. But I care. I'm in 12 leagues. I care about every single league. I care about every single match. And like, this specific league that I'm talking about drives me nuts. I have a good team even despite the fact that Le'Veon Bell hasn't showed up. And I was like, well, this is finally my week. You know what I mean? Like, and, I mean, it's mind numbing. Raheem Mostert, every beat writer, like Matt Barrows, who covers the team for The Athletic and does a good job for them as well. He's covered the team for a number of years, very respected beat writer. He apologized on Twitter saying, I'm sorry. He recommended to people saying, like, if you're in fantasy, I would start Alfred Morris. The guys that practice every day. Matt Breida had one limited practice. Kyle Shanahan literally called him doubtful. It serves him right. And I swear to God, I think that is karma. That's why they lost that game, because it's karma. You think I'm wrong? I don't know, because they should have won that game and they didn't. I'm just telling you. Sorry, I wish Stefania were here.
I don't know how to move on other than to just sort of awkwardly segue to the next topic, which I think
I'll move on real quick, and I'll just say this: I'm doing a waiver wire segment for the fantasy show on ESPN Plus later today.
Yeah,
I put Raheem Mostert on the list. As you just sort of said before I did that rant, I thought the guy looked good. Yeah, I mean, real, like my fantasy needs aside, I thought it was probably the right call from Kyle Shanahan. Now, I wish there'd been a little bit of heads up, you know, like, hey, he's moved him past the depth chart or something like that, or like something from any one of the number of people that cover that team saying like, hey,
you mean
Mostert looks like he's figuring more heavily into the game plan this week?
You mean like his 13 career carries before he had 12 in this game?
Right. I mean, like, again, 5 for 11 the week before, and he lost a fumble. Like, what about that from last week? Tells you, like, this is the guy that we should put into prime time. But, I don't know how you, based on what he did Monday night, I don't know how you go back to Alfred Morris in any kind of significant role. Breida certainly looks healthy. Yes, Alfred Morris, I think, except in the deepest of leagues, droppable in all formats.
Yep.
I could not have been more wrong on Alfred Morris.
Matthew,
like, from the start of the season till now, till last night. And there you go. That's fantasy karma for me too, for believing in Alfred Morris. Like,
you don't make it all better? Just read that. You want to read it instead?
Well, this will make it better actually, because I'm reading about SeatGeek, because I do love SeatGeek. So there you go. Here's a happy topic. You want to talk about a happy topic? It's SeatGeek. Getting tickets online can be far too complicated, Field, for somebody that has a feeble mind like myself. Make no mistake about it. It is tough. Hundreds of sites, varying levels of reliability. Hard to know who you can trust. You know? Like, if Kyle Shanahan were a ticket holder, was that like a ticket seller? Like, you're not buying tickets from Kyle Shanahan. That's for certain. Right? So it's hard to know who to trust. It's so important in this world to know who to trust.
Correct.
That's why SeatGeek is the way to go. SeatGeek's like the anti-Kyle Shanahan. SeatGeek pulls millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find tickets you want for the price you're willing to pay. There's nothing quite like being there in person. SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek, it's it's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever, right? I mean, the app is unbelievable. You search multiple ticket sites. This is what SeatGeek does for you. It searches by searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value. SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget, okay? Every purchase, here's the best part. Every purchase fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Mm. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, like, you know, whatever, Johnny's Ticket Place. And you're like, I don't know if this doesn't look real, you know, there's no 33rd of December. What's going on? Like, so you can shop with confidence on SeatGeek. Make SeatGeek your go-to source for everything from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, listeners of this podcast get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. I used them this weekend. My kid wanted to go to the LSU-Georgia game. He called me up. He never calls me and asks me for anything. He never calls me and asks me for a favor. But he called and asked me. He's like, can you figure out a way to get me tickets to the LSU-Georgia game? And I said, you bet. And I just opened up my SeatGeek app and bango, bingo, he was at the LSU-Georgia game. Download the SeatGeek app now. Enter promo code FFF. That's promo code FFF, and you get $20 off. Come on, a free $20 on your first SeatGeek purchase. Do it today. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets.
All right, moving along to our rest of season discussions about some really interesting, compelling, disappointing, at times frustrating players or situations that have reared themselves through the first 6 weeks of the season. Let's begin in Pittsburgh. And the latest that we know in regards to Le'Veon Bell is that he will not show up this week. Now, the reality is...
I heard they're trading for Raheem Mostert.
Let me get through here. So the Steelers are not expecting Le'Veon Bell this week. They are on a bye this week. So for fantasy football lineup purposes, it does not matter. But when he returns... it is currently scheduled to be week 8. I think the question that people are asking is this. In previous years, Le'Veon Bell has shown up, and Le'Veon Bell has gone and subsequently take close to 95% of the carries and have a massive target share in the passing game as well. James Conner and SportsCenter seconds ago tweeted how similar his production has been compared to where Le'Veon Bell was at this time of last season. Mike, I'll start with you. When Le'Veon Bell returns in week 8, let's assume that happens. Do you expect James Conner to be phased out of the offense entirely, or do you just have no clue?
I think he
will. It's okay to say no clue.
I think that we have a no clue about how the whole situation's going to transpire. We'll get to that in a second, but I think that Bell is better than James Conner.
Oh, I agree. Sure. Yeah. No question.
But I think over time, if they're both on the same roster, Bell will be the lead back. But at the very least, if Bell is not traded, Le'Veon Bell is on this roster. He's going to play. He's not going to just stand around on the sideline. So that is going to be crushing for James Conner's value. And you just talked about how their stats were similar. It shows you just how important opportunity is. Opportunity is significantly more important than efficiency in fantasy football and filling the box score. And Conner is getting a workload very similar to Bell in a very good offense. And that's why the production has been so similar. So I think even if they wash each other out and it's a total timeshare back there, it's going to hurt their value a lot. It's going to make them no more than mid to back end RB2 options. So right now, what am I doing? I'm out there, especially if Connor's big game, still shopping. I'm trying to sell them. I mean, I got a text from a friend yesterday and he said, hey, should I trade? I got an offer, Joe Mixon for James Conner, straight up. Take it. I would take Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
You know, he's been terrific as well. I think that's hitting the jackpot essentially. So another one for Davante Adams, discussion, Davante Adams for James Conner. I would still be trying to get a fringe cube or RB1 or wide receiver one and get out of this situation if I possibly can.
So Matthew, let me ask you the Le'Veon Bell side of this equation. You've been waiting this time.
But wouldn't you,
time.
Can I ask you a question though? Let's just to follow up on this discussion though. I agree with you. James Conner's value takes a hit. Whatever, you know, regardless of whatever Bell's role is, when Bell shows up, Conner's role takes a hit. But listen, if somebody's offering you Joe Mixon or whatever, Davante Adams, sure, you take that. But I don't know how realistic it is because I feel like most people who know what they're doing are not going to.
All the time.
We do. We 100%.
I'm just telling you, we do see goofy stuff all the time.
I get it. But for people that are in leagues with people where everyone in the league knows what they're doing, my question to you is that let's assume you can't get a no-brainer like a Joe Mixon or a Davante Adams. Like you trading him for Alex Collins?
No. So, I mean, that's too far down the list.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, you know, you trading him for Marshawn Lynch?
No. That's what I'm saying. You attack a fringe top 12 guy at receiver or running back. You don't just give them away. I'm not saying panic and throw these guys away, but I feel the same about Bell as well. And by the way, they could trade Bell, and you could end up, if you have Bell and Connor, you could end up with two top 10 running backs going forward, but that's great. But you can't just look at the ceiling. You have to consider the risk that they wash each other out if they're both on the same roster.
Which my question to you is going to be this, Matthew, is let's say you have been waiting on Le'Veon Bell for now 6 weeks of the fantasy season and the regular season as well. Would you consider trying to trade him away because you're thinking to yourself, like, I just can't envision Le'Veon Bell coming back, getting 30 touches a game, given how James Conner has played, and frankly, how Le'Veon Bell has discussed his own preservation this season, and see if you can pry away a top 10 running back from somebody else who currently has, I'm starting throwing names out here, Kareem Hunt or Christian McCaffrey or, you know,
Dalvin Cook, I think. Anyway.
Well, I mean, like, here's an interesting one. And maybe we should do a name game here. But, like, would you Le'Veon Bell for Leonard Fournette? Would you do that?
No.
Like, I'd rather have Le'Veon Bell.
Of course. Right. That's why I didn't mention.
But I'm saying, like, I don't know that, like, if I have Kareem Hunt or Christian McCaffrey, why on earth would you trade for Le'Veon Bell? Because like, the odds that Le'Veon Bell is better than those guys but in any significant way, I think, is slim. And the odds that he's much, much worse are far greater.
Well, because I would say that people who are currently rostering, you know,
because James Conner's not going away either.
Okay, but Matthew, again, it's like we are. That's what we're trying to convey is that we are telling people we don't think that James Conner is going away because many people don't necessarily view it that way. Some people are thinking it's Le'Veon Bell; he'll show up and have the job unto himself. We are trying to pass along the word that, hey, you might have some reasons for concern given how well James Conner has played. So Mike's takeaway on James Conner was that he would be targeting somebody that has fringe top 12 ability at wide receiver or running back. Names you just mentioned, Devontae Adams, Joe Mixon, for example. Same thing if you have Le'Veon Bell. If you could get a player that has top 8 running back upside for a Le'Veon Bell trade, I would do it. I don't know that someone's going to take it. But again, this is fantasy football. People do weird, irrational, goofy, and sometimes emotionally charged things.
Right.
That's the point on these.
Yeah, and there's definitely some people out there watching this shaking their heads like, this is crazy. Nobody's going to give up those players. But if you're in a 10 or 12 team league, it just takes one out of the 10 or 11 or 12.
But just one desperate person, and it happens.
Let's go a little bit further down then. So I'm going to play an impromptu name team. Would you trade either one of those guys for Robert Woods?
No.
Robert Woods has been nothing short of terrific.
I love Woods, but that's a little.
He's got one less point than Julio Jones this year, just so you know, on Robert Woods. Would you trade either of those guys for Juju Smith-Schuster? Less points than Robert Woods, incidentally. But
I think I would on Juju. I'm buying on Juju.
I'm buying on Juju as well.
I think he's a top 10 receiver.
I agree.
James Conner, maybe. Yeah.
You would trade James Conner for Juju.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I agree. Like, I'm with you guys that if possible, I want out of that business.
That's
like,
what I'm saying,
I mean,
too.
Like, I think it's going to be a mix. But I will. The other thing I will say, though, is this. That until we see something on the field, you have to treat James Conner as the starting running back of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can't sit here because we literally have no concept of Le'Veon Bell. He was supposed to report yesterday. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole thing is so mind-boggling. Like, because you could show up this week if you're Le'Veon Bell, get paid almost $1 million, and not play a game, and he's still sitting out. So the thought process of, if you're going to report in week 8, why wouldn't you report in week 7? So it's mind-boggling what's going on here.
Don't try to understand what Le'Veon Bell is doing or has done. That is a complete fool's errand. And
correct.
Frankly, I'm not sure it ties to fantasy football. Like,
it does, because people are viewing what they think Le'Veon Bell is going to do in terms of how they view his value and James Conner's value. That's my point, is you can't figure out what Le'Veon Bell is going to do. So until further notice, James Conner is the starting running back of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if you have him on your team, you should treat him as such. I don't mind trading him for another RB1 like Joe Mixon, but I don't think he can just give him away.
We're going to have to power through these next few topics here. Sure. Odell Beckham Jr. has been wide receiver 18 on a point per game basis so far. I believe he has, one touchdown so far this season. Really, relative to expectations, has been underwhelming. But Mike, what do you believe? Like, is there a turnaround window for Odell Beckham Jr.? Or is the quarterback play just that bad that the hope is gone in New York?
Yeah, first of all, I think we should go back and read the comments from my column in the offseason that said, headline being, Odell Beckham will score a lot fewer touchdowns this season. So anyway, just pat myself on the
NBD,
back there,
yeah,
a little bit. Really quickly, I do like him a lot going forward. I still think he's a top 5 guy. In fact, I looked at going forward projections. 71 catches, 858 yards, 5 touchdowns. That would be wide receiver 4. So still like him. And the reason for it, I mean, we know how talented he is. He's obviously a superstar talent. 31% target share is massive. And with a guy that good, seeing that much volume, it's going to be extremely hard for him not to deliver in fantasy. So I'm still buying.
I think he's potentially a buy low. I would make an offer for him in your league. I agree with Mike. The target share is unbelievable. You know what his talent is. Look, Eli looked bad. There's no question about it. But it was a short week against a divisional foe. And it's not like Eli has been super elite and then all of a sudden it's hit a wall. Eli's been bad for a while now, and Beckham has still put up points here. Two of his next 4 games, Falcons and the Buccaneers. You're going to want Odell Beckham in those games as well. So yeah, I mean, remember 2016, Thirsty Kyle brings this up. Remember in 2016, he was wide receiver 20 through the first 5 weeks of the season, wound up that season as wide receiver 4. Yeah. So, you know, 2 years, 2016, he started slow as well. We've seen it. I'm buying on Beckham.
I think we all are buying on Odell Beckham. I think it could start as soon, as you guys have said, as Monday night when they play the Atlanta Falcons. A savory matchup there. And you think...
With Secret Squirrel in attendance, by the way.
You're going to be there. Nice.
Do what I can. You know what I'm saying?
Very cool. I think everybody will look forward to playing on Monday Night Football. That's how NFL players are wired. Odell Beckham Jr. is...
Except Alfred Morris.
Eric Ebron, a couple of tight ends to get to going forward. Eric Ebron, in terms of points per game.
It's going
to
take a long time for me to get over this.
I understand, but we got a show to get through. So Eric Ebron is tight end 2 on points per game so far this season. That includes with Jack Doyle playing, I believe, for at least the first game, maybe the second game as well for Indy. So he has been pretty good. Touchdown in 3 straight games and in 5 of his 6 this season. All right, so you have Eric Ebron, and you're thinking like, all right, is this the sell high time? Is this the sell high time, Matthew, on Eric Ebron?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. First off, I think it's kind of legitimate. I mean, you guys know I am no Eric Ebron fan whatsoever. Yeah. But with no sign of Jack Doyle and the fact that we don't know when T.Y. Hilton is coming back, given how much they're throwing the ball, given Andrew Luck's long history of throwing to the tight end, given his production, and given who he is, Eric Ebron, my point is I don't think you could get fair value for what Eric Ebron is. Like, I think that if you try to trade him, people will be like, yeah, it's Eric Ebron. He's going to turn into a pumpkin Jack Doyle. And you're not going to be able to, quote, sell high on him. Because I think he is more valuable on your roster as the elite fantasy tight end he is than he is on the trade market, just because I don't think people are going to totally buy him for the, you know what I mean?
Like Jared Cook. It's like the same thing. Like, nobody wants to trade for him.
No one wants to trade for him. So it's just one of those things where I think you just have to, ride it out. I mean,
And we don't know when Jack Doyle's going to be back. They have 2 more games till their bye, and that could stretch through the bye, it sounds like. So that being the case, I would hold tight on Ebron. I will say this really quickly, though. Weeks 1 and 2, he ran 34 routes total and was targeted 9 times. That's total, weeks 1 and 2. In the 4 games since, with Doyle out, his average is 40 routes a game and 10.8 targets per game. I do believe Doyle is better, and Doyle will knock him down to like maybe a good tight end too once he's back. But again, it might be a while.
And
the only, by the way, the only counterpoint to when Jack Doyle returns is that they've had so many other injuries elsewhere. They signed Dontrell Inman off the street this morning. Like, maybe they'll just beef up their 2 tight end sets in which both of them are actually running routes. We don't know that for sure, but it's something to at least consider given all their injuries.
And Ryan Grant got banged up as well.
He's got an ankle
injury.
Of
that injury. Honestly, and remember, Ebron's new to this team. Doyle's been there for a while. So I think as he continues to make plays for the Colts and earn the trust and get more chemistry with Andrew Luck, I agree Doyle eats into a share, but I can't imagine him just all of a sudden going back to, you know, whatever the numbers were in the first 2, 9 routes, is that what you said?
Nine targets total.
9 targets total. I just can't see that happening.
Last one here, and Rob Gronkowski has been tight end 8 on a points per game basis, but the problem is you drafted him to be runaway tight end 1. You concerned at all about Gronk right now, Mike?
I'm not too concerned. I actually have him ranked behind Ebron this week, but I still have Gronk at 4.
Okay.
Right now he's seeing a 17% target share as Gronk. That is a career low since actually not including his rookie season when he was a part-time player. But he has been on the field for 91% of the snaps. That's his highest since 2011. So he's been on the field. I think that the targets will continue to trend up. By the way, he's been a top 10 fantasy tight end back-to-back week. So I'm not overly concerned. He's still a top 5 option, and it's very possible he's the number 1 scorer going forward. So I do still love him, but short term, you gotta hedge a little bit.
The concern is the lack of red zone targets. He's got 1 red zone target this year. He's got one. And so I think if there's something to hang your hat on, it's the obvious talent. It's being on the field with Tom Brady. It's that this offense is finally coming into shape, right? They've gotten Edelman back. They seem to have integrated Josh Gordon now. And so now you've got somebody that can sort of take the lid off the defense that you have to account for. You've got Edelman under, underneath on the short stuff. And so there's Rob Gronkowski in the middle of the field. And so even though he wasn't heavily involved, against the Chiefs, he still wound up with 90 yards. So that's the thing you can hang your hat on. You figure the touchdowns are coming. But I am concerned. I think if I were ranking for the rest of the season, if we did a draft today for the rest of the season, I would certainly prefer Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz before I got to Rob Gronkowski.
Right. Gronk wouldn't be the top 20 pick going, you know, if we did our redraft right now.
Yeah, his ADP was overall 19. Yeah.
Tom Brady made the point recently that the way the defenses are defending Gronk at the line of scrimmage is akin to how they defend gunners and punt coverage, right? You put two guys and you just sort of jam them up there and you try to prevent them from gaining an inch, much less run a 10 or 15 or 20 yard route. Maybe with the continued development of Josh Gordon, Edelman continuing to see more and more work, other players involved in that offense, James White and Sony Michel, that defenses say, well, we can't, you know, if we're going to continue to, you know, it takes one Josh Gordon, six catch, 120 yard, two touchdown game for defense to say, oh, crap, we can't account for just Gronk because Gordon's going to pick us apart. Maybe that is the key that unlocks the Gronk success. Quick break for us. On the other side of it, we're coming back, waiver wire time.
Tennessee, you're in the 06, don't
All right, and now for a quick message from the ZipRecruiter's Smartest Fan of the Week.
Hey, this is Gary Wallace, the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week. And Daniel is my favorite member of the 06010 because when he makes jokes, they make mine seem funny by comparison.
That's fair. That's very fair. It's very, very fair. It's a good point. Absolutely. You are the Mendoza line of comedy is what you are.
Is that what I am?
Yeah. Tom Carpenter liked that one.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Tom Carpenter liked the
Mendoza. I feel like you had a joke yesterday that was worse than my hamstring recall joke.
There's no there,
field.
There's
what was the joke yesterday that was
never
so
been
bad?
A joke worse than your hamstring joke.
No, it was the Mosinu one. What was it? Mosinu?
It might have been Mosinu, but that was still better than the really hamstring joke.
I don't think about
my jokes at their worst moment are still better than your hamstring joke. No mistake.
First off, Twitter.
It is the worst joke. It is the worst joke.
Definitively disagreed with that.
In the 12-year history of the 06010, it is literally the worst joke that's ever been told on
the show. Wow, Daniel, that's hyperbole potentially right there, but that's, I mean, just to be even mentioned as the worst joke of all time tells you something, because there have been some stinkers on this podcast throughout its inglorious existence.
That makes me feel like I'm winning a Razzie Award or something like
you
that.
You might.
Yeah, maybe you will.
Nomination. All right. Well, Field.
You can run the, the ship.
Yeah, well, listen, Field. Field Yates, of course, does the free agent finds columns every single week on ESPN.com. I'm a company man.
Some call it the best piece of content on ESPN.com each week.
Absolutely. And by some, we mean Chapin Duke.
Oh, so
all right.
So
let's start here. So bye weeks, right? So Packers, Raiders, Steelers on a bye. If you need to replace Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, or Russell Wilson, who are you looking for, Field Yates?
Couple of names to keep an eye on this week. Mitch Trubisky, over his past two games, 9 touchdowns. And he's got 100 rushing yards over the past two games. We saw this Patriots pass defense against the Chiefs this past Sunday. I think the Patriots defense is probably better than it showed. And like, listen, the Chiefs make every defense look worse than it actually is.
Fair.
But I don't think the Patriots are the Baltimore Ravens, who are like really the only good defense so far this season. And I think Trubisky, based off of the efficiency, completing over 71% of his passes, over the past two games, the rushing floor helps him into that top 12 or 14 mix for this week, as is Baker Mayfield. Now, I know he's got the gimpy ankle right now, but he's got the fourth most passing attempts in the league during his three starts, at least 40 passing attempts in each of his three starts. And he plays the Bucs, the Buccaneers. And think about this. Over the next 4 weeks, this is how the Baker Mayfield's four opponents rank: 28th, 29th, 31st, and 32nd over the next 4 weeks. Against the pass. Now that's the Bucs 32nd, the Steelers 29th, Casey 28th, Atlanta 31st. Like, this is the window for him to take a massive leap into fantasy relevance.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Baker, I mean, I'm still worried about his efficiency. He needs weapons. I mean, the guys are, they keep dropping the ball. His drop rate is double the league average. It's horrible.
Yep.
That's crushing for him. But to step back to Trubisky, I mean, you take away the bye week, focus on the 5 weeks Chicago has played. He's QB6, and yep. he's also QB3 in rushing yards yeah. among quarterbacks. So the guy
having a six touchdown game will help that.
It will help that, but he's coming off with back-to-back top yeah. 5 weeks now. So yeah. He's been delivering. He's taken a step forward. He has a good group of weapons. Taylor Gabriel just insanely underrated over the past month. I mean, he should have been on rosters a long time ago, still available in two-thirds of leagues, as I believe we'll get to. So
yes, we will.
He has some weapons in place. Obviously, Trey Burton hasn't really even been fully unleashed no. yet. So a pair of running backs. So I do like him going forward, and you mentioned he should have to throw it a lot in this game. So I'm with you on Mitch.
And I would agree on Baker Mayfield. The upcoming schedule, you know, Bucks, Steelers, Chiefs, Falcons is unbelievable for Baker Mayfield. Yeah, if Antonio Callaway could catch. I mean,
Browns need a receiver bad.
They signed Rashad Perriman recently.
A guy that can catch the ball.
I was just going to say, exactly. You know what we need to solve our drops problem? Rashad Perriman.
Yes, exactly. It's the worst. Rashad Matthews, I can't believe he's not on the team yet.
Right. What are you doing there? I mean, maybe they call Dez up and see if they can figure something out there. It's unfortunate, but even with that, it's an unbelievable schedule for Baker Mayfield. So I certainly like both those names, Field. They're good names to keep an eye on. And so for more quarterback names, be sure to check out the column here. Now, there's a lot of injuries just to sort of keep an eye on as well. So in addition to the quarterbacks, you might be looking to replace. Just to give you a heads up here, Devontae Freeman
yep.
and Matt Bryant, both out for this week's game. Dan Quinn already announcing that they will not play on Monday night. So that means more Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith.
Correct.
And the Falcons will need a kicker. My little Cooper Kupp suffered an MCL sprain, could miss some time. This is according to Adam Schefter and sources there. And then Quincy Enunwa, who just, by the way, I mean, you just talk about tough breaks there. High ankle sprain, mm-hmm. zero fantasy points, two straight weeks for Quincy Enunwa after such a massive target share. He killed me in a couple of leagues.
Yeah, would not surprise me if Jermaine Kearse is wide receiver 3 while Anun was out. He just had a big game. And remember, he was wide receiver 26 last season yeah. on the New York Jets. I mean, he's been their primary slot receiver
correct.
Since he became a full-time player. And we know Darnold likes going inside. He feasted, he force-fed Anunwa with targets early in the season. So Kearse is a nice sleeper right now and available in a ton of leagues.
Yeah, I would agree. I was getting a lot of Terrell Pryor questions. Honestly, Kearse would be the Jets' yes. wide receiver I pick up.
He's our number one right now.
Yeah, I think, and to your point, last year he led the Jets in all, you know, targets, receptions, routes from the slot. And obviously, yes, Darnold likes to throw in between the numbers there. That's where Anunwa was lining up in his massive target share. You know, they're going to take some shots to Robbie Anderson, but I agree with you. I think Jermaine Kearse, very underrated for an improving Jets offense. Secret Squirrel, why don't you tell me about Subaru?
I'd love to, Matthew. Did you know if I had a fantasy SUV, it would be a Subaru, but I'd make sure it's a big one with 3 rows of seats and loads of room for all the gear I like to haul around. Someone at Subaru must have been listening because that's what they just introduced. It's the all-new 3-row Subaru Ascent. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second row captain's chairs or bench seating. You can choose the arrangement that works best for you and all of your future Hall of Famers and their friends. This is a big deal. Everyone knows Subaru has a reputation for safety. And with the standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, a Subaru gives you the confidence to handle every sort of weather and road condition. Now you can get all of the things that people love about a Subaru along with plenty of room for your growing families. The Ascent even comes with 19 cup holders and up to 8 USB ports. Both of those things are incredible. Like I said, this is big. The all-new 3-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. 8 USB ports requires third-row dual USB charging port accessory. And exploring the waiver wire is brought to you by the all-new 3-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. And Matthew, I'm loving me some OJ Howard this week.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
So am I. Let me tell you all about him.
Okay.
OJ Howard was the focal point of
Good
the
job.
Lead in today's
hang
column.
On, let me just show Secret Squirrel something. So you see, the idea here is that because Field writes the waiver wire column.
I know, I was teeing you finds, up to tee him up. It was a double tee.
But then
tee
you don't
up.
Need to.
It was like a hockey assist.
You were looking
like,
for the hockey assist.
Yeah,
right?
I wanted the hockey assist there.
Is that what you're trying
yeah,
to do here?
That's my bad.
You're kind of like Chris Paul. You make the pass or Ricky Rubio.
Well, it was very Bill Laimbeer-ish because like you held the ball until there was like, you know, like whatever. Or Artis Gilmore, like till there was like 4 seconds left of the shot clock and you threw it to me.
And besmirch the name of Bill Laimbeer, Matthew Berry.
What you could have done there. Because what am I supposed to do there with that when you like tell me about Subaru? Tell me about OJ Howard. Because what I'm going to say, then I'm in an awkward spot where I go like, well, I'd love to tell you about OJ Howard, but actually, Field, why don't you tell me about it? Because then it looks like I don't know anything about OJ Howard. Because obviously, I know a ton about OJ Howard. But it's
do you know
Field's
a ton about OJ Howard?
I do. I know everything about him. I roomed with him two summers ago.
Let's get back to the waiver wires. We got a ton of stuff left to get to in the next 10 minutes. OJ Howard is my number one tight end to get to this week. He's available in about 2/3 of leagues. He had 13 more snaps and 5 more routes run than Cameron Brate in week 6. And although Cameron Brate was signed to a 6-year extension this offseason, like, it's pretty clear, like, separate apart from usage, like, OJ Howard's the far superior overall player. He's available in a bunch of leagues. He has basically been a top 10 tight end in every week that he has played. He has scored double digits in, I believe, 4 of 5 total games so far this season for OJ Howard. Yes, pounce all over OJ Howard. Let's get to, would you have something to add there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm a little more concerned than I was early in the season just because he's only been on the field for 48% of their pass plays in the 4 games that he's been healthy for the whole game, and he has 4 or fewer targets in 4 of his 5 games. So a little nervous about that, but I do like that the offense is scoring a lot. I'm a big Jameis Winston fan going forward, so cautiously optimistic, but a little concerned there. I'd like to see him on the field a little more when they're throwing.
But in a thin position, OJ Howard, clearly the number one tight end pickup. Let's move to running back now. Fieldon, do you prefer Mac Attack or Big Mac as a nickname?
Oh, I was going to say, I'll go Mac Attack for Marlon Mack because Marlon Mack is not that big. He's not diminutive, but he is certainly not this power back of the LeGarrette Blount or Derrick Henry type mold. But Marlon Mack, 12 carries for 89 yards against the Jets this past Sunday, gained at least 5 yards on 7 of those 12 runs. We've seen him show off talent in the past. We wondered whether or not he would get that much usage in this game after what we saw from Nyheim Hines in previous games. Well, it seems as though Marlon Mack is going to be the, I don't want to say first and second down back because I want to kind of get rid of that term from the first down, from the NFL vernacular. But Nyheim Hines, they want to go up tempo. They want to go fast. Nyheim Hines is on the field. You want to play traditional offensive snaps? Marlon Mack on the radar.
And Hines did outsnap him 29-23 in this game. So don't forget that. Hines is probably still the 1A to Mack being the 1B here, but it seems like it's going to be a two-man attack. I'm sorry for those who I told to pick up Jordan Wilkins. Looks like it's not going to happen anytime soon.
It is worth noting, however, that Mack did show some explosiveness. Hines did drop an easy touchdown there, so it'll be interesting to see their usage going forward. Certainly, Mack needs to be rostered in a lot more leagues, especially if you are running back hungry with the, you know, Marshawn Lynch and the Packers backs and everyone out as well. So, or James Conner, Chris Carson, actually for this week as well. What about Peyton Barber, Field?
Yeah, I mean, the running back, it thins out rapidly. I just would note that Peyton Barber's available in 57% of leagues, and he got 13 carries and had 17 total touches this past game for the Buccaneers. It just doesn't feel like the Ronald Jones experiment's ever going to come to fruition this year. So Barber's not an ad that I'm super excited about. But again, when you're looking through bye weeks and you're considering, like, do I start the third string running back for, like, Aaron Jones or Peyton Barber? Like, I think at this point you have to start Peyton Barber.
Yeah,
no question.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say 76% of the runs, 10% of the targets in week 6. That's heavy usage. And listen, the inefficiency is a concern. He could lose that job at any minute to Ronald Jones if they want to give him a longer look. But when a guy is getting that much workload in the NFL or is a clear lead back in a backfield, they have at least flex value. It's just math. Volume is so much more important than efficiency. So, he was top 10 this week. He had not been top 40 his first 4 games. That's obviously a red flag, but he's at least going to flirt with that flex area as long as he's the lead back there.
Yeah.
And I was going to say that when Jameis Winston got started last year, final 5 weeks, Jameis Winston, the number one quarterback in fantasy, most passing yards in the NFL. Over those 5 weeks, Peyton Barber, top 15 in rushing yards per game. So as he got hot, so did Peyton Barber. What about Jalen Richard in Oakland on a bye this week?
Yeah, on a bye week. But this is like we get to 4 to 6 teams in a bye in a given week. The Raiders stink. You play in a deeper league, a 16-team league. I'm telling you, you look at the available running back options, and there's very little. But Richard has 31 catches this season, at least 6 catches in 4 of his 6 games. You don't figure they're going to be competitive in a lot of games. That'll lend itself to some, you know, 8 to 12 point outings for Jalen Richard. Not a massive ceiling, but if you're desperate, he's a name to keep in mind. Ito Smith also on this list for me on the waiver wire column this week. You mentioned Devontae Freeman, unlikely to play on Monday night. Ito Smith is playing basically 50% of the snaps right now alongside Tevin Coleman. So let's move on to wide receivers, Matthew. Can
we
do that?
Yeah, we can absolutely do that. I just quickly want to mention that Latavius Murray is still available in a little more than 50% of ESPN leagues. Very surprising, but obviously when you think about Dalvin Cook, who's rostered in 100% of leagues, Latavius Murray needs to be rostered in 100% of leagues.
And he does,
so,
yeah.
Given Dalvin Cook's injury issues this year, and we've seen what Latavius Murray can do, make sure Latavius Murray is still is rostered in your league, because if he's not, obviously you're picking him up. Let's move to wide receiver. We've been talking about the Colts a little bit, and a Colt makes your list here at the wide receiver.
Yeah, I've got a couple of wide receivers to note before you check out the column on ESPN.com, but Chester Rogers for the Colts has 32 targets over the past three games. Some of it may just be because they have so many injuries, but those continue to pile up. The team signed Dontrell Inman this morning, placing Marcus Johnson on injured reserve. Talked about Jack Doyle, T.Y. Hilton. They're both uncertain for week seven. We don't know when we're going to see the Colts or if we're going to see them ever have a full complement of wide receivers. Ryan Grant is also injured. Chester Rogers, touchdown last week, 4 catches on 10 targets. Volume, man. Volume can be king in fantasy football. I don't even have any idea if Chester Rogers is a good player, an average player, somewhere in between, but he's getting a lot of targets and that counts. Last one here, and Mike mentioned him just a minute ago, is Taylor Gabriel for the Bears, who's caught 12 of 12 targets over the past two games and up over 100 yards over each of the past two games as well. And Mike, I don't know if you happen to know his snap percentage offhand or at least a general vicinity, but he's at like 90%+ of the Bears snaps. Like, he has been a role player in previous stops in his career. Not the case in Chicago. He's playing all the time.
Yeah, 22% target share for a guy who's a downfield playmaker. I mean, like, DeSean Jackson in his prime was not really pushing that far often. He was usually closer to like 18-19%, and he still delivered into fantasy. Gabriel's at 22% in an offense we're talking up as playing good football, as quarterback, a top five fantasy quarterback 2 weeks in a row. So you can't ignore that. 7 targets a game for a guy that can get you a 60-70-yard touchdown at any given point. That is big time. He is certainly in the wide receiver three discussion against New England.
Full waiver wire column is up, but in the meantime, time for crappy promo.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
Well, guys, today, as you know, is the launch of the NBA season. We're very excited about that, right? And with the launch of the NBA season also comes the launch of NBA DFS. And if you play DFS for the NBA or for NFL, I'm excited to announce the launch of RotoPassDaily.com. Same theory as RotoPass, but now for DFS sites. You get full access to sites like Fantasy Labs and Daily Roto, Roto Grinders, ESPN Plus, of course, RotoWire. Our friends at RotoTracker give you access to their site as well. So go check it out at RotoPassDaily.com if you are a hardcore DFS player, if you want to get better, if you want to try to win. I think this is a terrific site. I've gotten the best of the DFS sites with lineup building tools, with tons of analysis, cheat sheets, everything you could possibly need and more to crush at DFS. Go to RotoPassDaily.com and if you use the promo code LAUNCH, 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 all caps, 15% off. So just as kind of a celebrate launching that as well. We're still in a little bit of beta mode, but because of the NBA season launching today, wanted to get it out there. RotoPassDaily.com. Check it out.
Time now for Back That Up.
He's a brainiac. He's my clay.
All right, Mike, let's begin with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, who face the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road. I had a difficult time here. I mean, I dragged him way down in my quarterback. I think I have him at like 15 on my week 7 quarterback ranks. How about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty low as well. And I want to love him because the volume he's been getting, you know, throwing deep, obviously a lot of pass attempts. He runs the ball. He's kind of seemingly on the verge of a huge game, but it hasn't come yet. And he's going up against this Jacksonville defense. It's allowing the 6th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. I know that he was just sliced up in Dallas by, they were sliced up in Dallas by Dak Prescott, but prior to that, the best finish against him was QB 17. So they've been great this year until that game. Not to mention Watson coming off a rough game against Buffalo and the Houston offense. I don't think many of us realize this, but they've cleared 2 touchdowns in a game one time this season. Wow. And they've scored exactly 1 touchdown in back to back games. So too much pressure on Watson with behind that poor offensive line, too many sacks, too many interceptions, up against a great defense. I think that Watson, if you can afford to, find a replacement this week.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Mike. I think he comes in our initial ranks at 13 for quarterback rankings this weekend. Say it again. You're lower than that. Yeah, you have
15.6.
You have him at 17. I've got him at quarterback 15 this week. All right, Mike. Next one here is Saquon Barkley, RB2. How could you not have him RB1?
Oh, wait. I know.
Todd Gurley exists. That's how.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only reason he's not number one. Todd Gurley, pretty hashtag good at football as well. So Barkley's awesome, of course. Top 13 all 6 weeks so far. He has four top five fantasy running back weeks, averaging 14 carries, 8.3 targets per game. And oh yeah, the Falcons, you can run on them. They've allowed 33 fantasy points per game to running backs so far. And believe it or not, they've been top 10 in fantasy points allowed to running backs all 6 weeks. So what else is there to say? The matchup's great. The player's great. The opportunity is great. He's positioned for another huge week. You're obviously starting him in season long. Consider him for DFS as well.
Last one here for you, Mike, is Alvin Kamara, who last week, he saw his work just get cut out 2 weeks, or I guess not last week, but like last Monday night, 8 days ago, with Mark Ingram returning. What do you expect for him going forward?
Yeah, I still like him a lot. We talked about this last week. I'm not panicking on Kamara. It seemed like he was just overworked for a month. They gave him a break in that game. He's still way too good to be standing around the sideline, so I expect him to play a big role in a huge game. I can't wait to see how both teams show up in this game, with New Orleans going into Baltimore, who's been one of the best teams in the league. So I have Kamara at 18.8 points. It's fifth most at running back. The Ravens have been the best defense against fantasy running backs so far, but Kamara has been the number one scoring fantasy running back 3 of the 5 weeks he's been active. We know he plays a huge receiving role. He's still super efficient, 4.8 yards per carry, 9.2 yards per reception. So even with Ingram mixed into that backfield, I have no doubt Kamara will be a star going forward. And, you know, 15-plus touches this week, I mean, that should be enough to make him an RB1.
A lot of people needed to hear that. A lot of reassurance needed after Alvin Kamara's down week in week five of the NFL season.
Try to trade for him. I've heard
you got it.
That's one that I've heard some crazy trades for,
yes,
too.
He says people are panicking
on Alvin Kamara. Do not fall victim to that.
By the way, he checks in at running back 5 in our week 7 ranks. The lowest anybody has him is running back 8. The highest is 3. So people have a lot of confidence in Alvin Kamara this week. At the end of tomorrow's show, we have a special guest. Her name, Mina Kimes, the great Mina Kimes, the host of the Bootleg podcast, and you see her all over ESPN platforms. Tonight we have NBA Hoops.
Why is Mina Kimes slumming with us?
I asked her, I was like, listen, we really need some star power.
Right.
We've been struggling recently.
Sure.
You know, and she's like, all right, fine, I'll come
that's
on.
That's fine. She'll slum. All right, well, that's great. Mina Kimes is awesome. That's awesome.
She is great.
Good get. Nice job. See
thanks.
You, girl.
There you have it. Mike Clay is Mike Clay NFL on Twitter and Instagram. Matthew Berry is Matthew Berry TMR everywhere on social media except for the Fantasy Life app, where he is at Matthew Berry, the fantasy show.
Sorry if I blocked you last night. I went on a blocking Dikembe Mutombo type rage.
Contrary to Matthew's beliefs, those do not count towards our fantasy basketball league, which kicks off tonight. You are still at 0 blocks as of now.
I'm playing
that
Secret
will
Squirrel
tonight.
You're going down, Secret Squirrel.
Heated matchup between those two. I am at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram, and I don't do other social media. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Peace out.
They're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fan.